welcome to The Thing About Cotton, our first chat for 2026. I'm Ema McDonough, based in Australia, a merchant with Hang Tung Resources, and we have Camille Clizel joining us from Louis Dreyfus Company, based in Geneva. Camille, 25 was a busy year. We talked with Ikra Inam about sustainability and Pakistan's path forward, and subsequent to that, we're happy to report that the Women in Cotton Pakistan group has been formed, with women and men supporting it from across their supply chain. We also talked with Eric Trachtenberg, the CEO at the ICAC, about the case for cotton as a global public good. And we chatted with Antonia Prescott, Managing Director and Editor of Cotlook. We also heard from Alison Ward, the CEO of Cotton Connect, about the transformative role of cotton in global livelihoods. And we spoke with the formidable Delaina White about the Make the Label Count campaign and the future of natural fibres. They were all such interesting discussions, and we were very grateful to have had Rebecca Owen from BCI join us while you had some time off on maternity leave. And I'm happy to report that Rebecca is going to stay on the pod team this year too, which will be great as we're planning on some shorter and more frequent episodes. One I'm looking forward to that's coming up soon is an interview with a female farmer in India. So how is it to be back to work full time, Camille? Have you got a routine down yet?
Hey, Mar, thanks so much for your welcome back. It's genuinely good to be back. I miss the pace and the intellectual sharpness of the cotton market. It moves fast and you feel it when you step away. Although I do have to say that for the last few months, whenever I was checking the market, I felt like my ice screen was broken because it was always at the same level. So yeah, it was definitely
because
around.
It was.
Yeah, exactly. But ever since I came back, it feels very energizing and the market is moving a bit more. And yeah, it's great to be back. I'm trying to find a balance. I mean, this is a podcast hosted by Women in Cotton. So I do want to stay real on that. And I want to break the myth a little bit of the you can do it all, you can have it all. If you want to do that, you need help. So I'm grateful for the help that I have to be able to do that. So yeah, it's great to be back. Thanks, Ema.
It's great to have you back. And it's very timely given that we have one of your colleagues to interview today.
Yes, so I'm excited.
Without further ado, I think we'll jump in and speak to our special guest.
So they say that in cotton, no one really plans a career. The trade has a way of finding you. And if that's true, then Pierre Chehab is one of its most natural outcomes. Pierre often says that he came into cotton despite himself. In reality, cotton had already been part of his life long before his first job. He represents the third generation of his family in the trade, with roots going back to Alexandria, once one of the great epicenters of global cotton commerce alongside Memphis in the US and the Asian hubs of Japan and Hong Kong. After university and military service, Pierre entered the industry in the most practical way possible, as a trainee at Faircot Ecom, starting out in Liverpool at the age of 24. From there, his career quickly became international and rarely went according to plan. Assignments meant to last days or weeks often stretched into months, whether in Dallas, Lubbock, or later across emerging cotton origins. In the US, Pierre attended the Memphis Cotton School and earned the USDA Classing Certificate, a fairly rare qualification that reflects a deep technical understanding of cotton at its source. In 1989, Pierre joined Donovant in Geneva, initially focused on selling US cotton into Europe, but as the world changed in the early 90s, so did cotton flows. With the fall of the Soviet Union, new markets opened almost overnight, and Pierre was on the ground, in Odessa, in Moscow, and across Central Asia, helping build the commercial, logistical, and technical foundations needed to move cotton out of these regions. Those experiences shaped not just a trader, but a deep understanding of risk, logistics, classings, and counterparties, often in some of the most complex environments the cotton trade has ever faced. Alongside his commercial career, Pierre has been a long-standing contributor to the International Cotton Association. He became a member and later an arbitrator in the early 2000s, at a time when the ICA, then still the Liverpool Cotton Association, was itself evolving. Pierre has never described arbitration as a badge of honor, but rather as a responsibility, a way to contribute to the system and a unique vantage point from which to understand contracts, disputes, and the realities behind them. In 2010, Pierre joined Louis Dreyfus' company following the acquisition of Dunavant, later leading the cotton platform in Singapore, before returning to Geneva as head of cotton for Europe and the Black Sea. Today, as president of the International Cotton Association, he brings together decades of experience across origins, markets, and market cycles, and a front row seat to how cotton flows and cotton governance have evolved over time. On a slightly more personal note, I've had the privilege of working closely with Pierre for the past 10 years, and what has always stood out to me is not just the breadth of his experience, but the consistency of his standards, a strong sense of values, culture, and backbone, even when the market or the moment makes that very uncomfortable. It's something I respect deeply and something that I feel particularly is relevant to the role he holds today. So Pierre, it's a real pleasure to welcome you to the Thing About Cotton podcast.
Yeah, thank you very much, Camille. You know, I'm impressed by your introduction. You know, I really wanted to thank you for that. In fact, I'm very fortunate to have a very interesting job combining passions. Cotton is a commodity, as you say, is in my roots. I think it links everything: global geopolitical exposure, adventure, trips, everything. And I really like that. I was not finding myself seated on a desk all my life. So being in the commodity business, I think is something that I would suggest to all youngest to have a look at. It's not an easy one. It's not something that, you know, you are going to be rich one day to the other. It's just something that, you know, you really need to work and work hard. I think I see all my teams, I see all the members, you know, I think it's something incredible. You need to be ready to go in places that, you know, you have not even thought about. You need to go to places, to ports, to regions. You need to go in the fields. You know, all this is adventures. You know, I am also an aviation passionate. And people will say, yes, but, you know, when you went to ex-Soviet Union, it was still Soviet Union when I came there for the first time, you know, to fly with planes like Tupolev, Ilyushin, Yakovlev, you know, it's something that people will have pretty scared of. And rightly so. But this is right, I really enjoy, you know, to go in the field, you know, to see countries and city that you have heard in books, but very difficult to locate like that, like Odessa, Samarkand. Everybody has heard about the Silk Road. But to be there, you know, to be a little bit, I'm trying to take this not to be too pompous, but, you know, to be a little bit part of the story and see the move of this new countries like Uzbekistan, Turkmenistan, Tajikistan. I think that's incredible. And I wish everybody, every youngsters, to have this possibility to have this experience.
Thanks, Pierre. Thanks for your time and for your anecdotes. I mean, there are so many questions that we'd like to ask you and anecdotes about certain random situations that you found yourselves in. And maybe we'll touch on that a bit later. But for our listeners, to ground this episode in the current moment with the ICA, you've seen cotton industry through multiple cycles, obviously regions as well, and moments of disruption. So as we sit here today in February 2026, how would you describe the moments that the industry and the ICA is in right now?
I think we are looking for the new frontier. I will say, you know, before we had from what I started, you know, we have the industry, textile industry in Europe. Then we see the opening of the ex-Soviet Union. Then we saw China opening. Then we saw all the move of the textile industry to Asia. Lastly, we saw the expansion, the gigantic expansion of Brazil. And now, as I said, we are looking for the new frontier. Is Africa going to be the one? You know, it's something that we need to consider as well. I think we are looking at, and I think it will be the job of the new generation to find what's next for cotton. And cotton has its own issue, you know, the man-made fiber, the proportion of cotton in the textile. How are we going to manage that? And now we need also to add the geopolitical situation with tariffs. I think it's something that we even thought for the last 15 years. And now every conversation we have, we talk about tariffs. What's going on? You know, what's a new agreement, trade agreement between the US and Bangladesh? What is going to be to happen in India? Do we still have import fees? Yes, no. I think this is something that is really fascinating because, you know, you are thinking, you are making plans, but something else is going to happen that you have not thought about.
Not thought nor any control.
No, no, you're right. And you know, we have to take a moment to pause and think about what that new frontier looks like, but also the challenges that are ahead for us. And, you know, I'm very fortunate to work with you on the executive of the ICA as the first vice president. And the priorities of the ICA have to shift and change and adapt to what's happening along the supply chain. And just on that one, how do you see the ICA's role adapting to that change, Pierre? What are we doing in that space to stay relevant?
I think the ICA needs to open up to all actors and players. I think we don't need to see the ICA as a policeman, but more as an arbitrator trying to find, to open doors to everybody. It's not because, you know, you have an arbitration that, you know, this is the end of the world. No, you know, it's because, you know, two parties are not in, they don't have the same opinion, and they ask a judge or an arbitrator to find the solution here. What I think is we need to have contract sanctity. I think that's the beginning of the end. Mm. And I think when I talk sanctity, it goes together with the new terms that we are facing with sustainability, traceability, sanctity. Because, you know, in this transparent world that we are living today, we need to have that. And we need to have more and more people joining the ICA in order to work together in this transparency.
Yeah, and I suppose also we have to be mindful of the fact that buying and selling decisions have traceability and sustainability as part of their key drivers these days. It's not like, I suppose, when we started, Pierre, where it was quality, shipment month, price, and, you know, there is another element now to the value proposition for cotton. And I think the ICA's role, as you say, should encompass all of the actors in the supply chain.
Definitely. You know, I think we need to go from the farmers to the retailers. Now, we have some resistance there because, you know, it's new. You take a spinner on one side in terms of cotton supply. I think the ICA is there. And, you know, it's rule that we have to abide. On the other side, you know, when it goes to spinners, to yarn, there is no strict rules, and this can be complicated. And I think it would be good to have maximum spinners, weavers, knitters, retailers to join the ICA, you know, to work as a big family, and, you know, with rules, and we know what we have. If we don't have rules, it's just the anarchy. At the end of the day, we are all losing. I think this is, you know, we need, you know, cotton. You know, cotton has to face the man-made fiber competition. You know, it doesn't mean that it's a bad competition, but, you know, we just have to face. And, you know, we just cannot afford to fight between ourselves when we have these challenges.
Yeah. And Pierre, I think it's a super interesting point. I mean, you've mentioned before about how the ICA shouldn't be perceived as a police, but as an arbitrator, and you have 25 years of arbitration under your belt. So how has arbitration evolved over the last decades? Do you see more cases, more complex cases, less cases, or is it easier to find a solution between parties? And, you know, the need of spinning mills to be more involved in order to find common grounds, that has always been the case. So why is it more relevant today, do you feel?
Because I think right now we have younger generations more on the spinners, but even also on the trade that are aware of the rules. Before it was a saying, you know, I don't know how the rule works, but you know, I think this concept of market difference, I think is understood by everybody. And I think this is at least, you know, the ICA is also trying, you know, through workshop in order to pass this information. The minute that you have a big market variation, like we have every 10 years, I will say, on average, you know, you are facing issues. I think it's not having issues that it's a problem. It's the way that we are solving them. We know that, and we have been much more flexible. I think the entire industry has been more flexible by managing delay, by averaging pricing, by offering flexibility, because we all understand. I understand that when we have some foreign currency limitation, it's a problem. It's a problem for the customer to manage that. We know that, and we are trying to help. But at the end of the day, you know, nobody, you know, the principle of the rules is that everybody should be in the same financial situation had the contract been executed. I think that's a principle that, you know, we have to follow.
Mm. So cotton is often described as a relationship-driven industry, and you obviously have encountered multiple situations that you touched on in the introduction. So how important are culture, values, and people to, well, the cotton industry in your experience, but also to the ICA strategy moving forward?
You know, I think we have this debate in the ICA as we speak, you know, where are we and where are we heading? And I think it's very clear, you know, the ICA is an arbitral body. I think this is pretty clear. But, you know, how can the ICA has, you know, touching all the participants in the textile industry can help to promote cotton? I think it would be difficult for the ICA to take the lead of that. But I think we can support, ICA has to support this industry, this cotton industry in all matters. Because, you know, we have the data. We have the members, we have the knowledge, we have the name, and this is what we need to do.
And Pierre, just on that, I think given the fact that we've had a huge change, if you go back to when we were originally the Liverpool Cotton Association to the ICE, to the International Cotton Association, even the makeup of people around the board table has changed considerably. We have diversity throughout the board. We have diversity on the working groups and the committees that we have at the ICA. And I think, I mean, certainly from my experience, that has changed the conversation and opened it up to potentially, you know, less biased views from what would have been historically, you know, the discussion around the board table. So do you think that's adding to future-proofing the ICA and adding to the benefits to the global industry?
Oh, by all means. You know, the first time I went to the Liverpool dinner, what we used to call the ICA, there was no woman. There was no woman. It was not open to, you know, can you imagine, you know, talking about this today, you know, I think it looks, you know, if I, you know, when I tell this to my kids, especially to my daughter, she told me that, you know, how insane we were.
And
yeah, exactly. And then, you know, you both of you are the best examples. You know, you are the first vice president of the ICA. We had Kim as president, in the past president. We had the move from the LCA, the Liverpool Cotton Association, to the International Cotton Association has opened the door to an internationalization of this of the trade. I think it's fantastic. It's fantastic.
And I think it opens us up. Yeah, we're not as insulated as we used to be, and particularly with the other end of the supply chain, as in the brands and retailers and legislative pressures coming to play. Having all those voices around the table is for the greater good of the industry and everybody involved with it. I'm intrigued, though, you know, after all of these years in cotton, Pierre, What keeps you engaged still? I know you talked about you know, challenges and cycles, etc. But what's the thing that keeps you engaged and keeps you optimistic?
Every day is different than the other. I know that in few industries the same, but you know, it's always something happening. You know, when we come to the office in the morning, we know that something is going to be different. To be honest with you, every time we are looking for what are we going to do next? You know, it's a day by day. You know, it's evolving by the minute. You know, it's so exciting. It's so exciting. You know, we don't know what's going to happen the next day. I really love that. You know, I just arrived now. You know, I've just decided that, you know, I need to go to Turkey because you have an issue, you know, when I was nothing planned for the next two weeks. You know, it's the contact that we have. I think it's incredible because, you know, we are talking about teams, we are talking about AI, but, you know, we're still going and meet customer face to face. And then you were looking the eyes, and I like, because, you know, this is where we have the direct contact, you know. I'm working in a trading company, and we are offering the same product that another trading company to the same people. So what makes the difference? Why, you know, you coming more to us than coming to somebody else? Why, you know, ICA is so present? Because, you know, we know that it has been established. I think it's not coincidence that this association has been created in 1841, almost 200 years, and it's still there. Of course, it has evolved, but it's still there. I think that's only all this is already incredible.
Yeah, you can rely on it. You know, you have trust in the process around your contract sanctity because of the ICA.
Yeah, because, you know, is what I say, it will have been the anarchy. You know, I think you may think, oh, you know, I'm not performing this contract. You know, fine, I'm making a short term profit, but at the end, you know, you will lose. Everybody is going to lose. That's the point. You know, don't think. I think that's also another point that, you know, in your industry, we cannot think short term. We need to think middle long terms. I think we have no choice.
Yeah, it's not as long-term as it used to be, Pierre. You know, the days where you could sell 2-3 years in advance or 2-3 years out, it's not that anymore. I think that's probably a little bit more pressure on the market and on the trade flows.
Yeah, I agree with you, Emma. You know, the only thing is, you know, we are not, you know, there's not much forward trades because, you know, people have been suffering with this market. But, you know, just wait for 1-3 years of decent business, and I think we'll see some forward business in my opinion, from what I've seen.
I think it's the common underlying theme from all the guests we've had on the podcast is the passion speaking in every aspect, and it transpires from every guest. And Pierre, on that note, we love to ask every one of our guests one question towards the end of the conversation, and it's what would be the one thing about Cotton that you would like our audience to know that you think they may not know?
No, but, you know, I think you need to think about an adventure. You need passionate. You know, if you lose the passion, you know, this is. But, you know, I think it's a little bit like every job in every industry. But, you know, cotton is something that, you know, has been grown 2,000 years BC. You know, I think it's incredible that, you know, we are still talking about something that has been that started, you know, 4,000 years ago. And we're still working, dealing, combining AI, satellite, everything for something that started 4,000 years. I think for me, it's incredible. It's incredible. You know, you're talking about Alexandria, but Alexandria was only 200 years ago. And now we are still thinking about this, you know. We're still thinking about these days. And what we did, what we used to say is, oh, gosh, this market is complicated. You know, everybody is saying that. But, you know, we were saying already, this is the most complicated market I've ever seen, but we are saying this every year.
We have short-term memory, you know, Pierre.
Yeah, exactly. So at the end of the day, you know, if we are still there, it's because, you know, this is for good reason, because we like that, because you have passion. And trust me, it's not easy. You know, we have discussion, yeah. we have fight between ourselves in the company, but also with the ICA, because, you know, we don't have the same view. But this is what is bringing the success of the association, because, you know, we are coming from all different places, from all different environment, from different part of the industry. And this is what is bringing the success of the ICA.
And we can continue to evolve as well. That's the beauty of it.
I think we have no choice, Emma. And I think I leave the ICA in good hands, in your good hands then for that.
Well, that's a good transition.
We'll take that offline, Pierre.
Thank you so much, Pierre, for your time today. It was great to hear your thoughts and your views.
Thank you, Pierre. It's a pleasure as always.
Thank you very much.
It's always great to hear from a leader who is so passionate about our cotton industry. We need to mention that Pierre will be in India for an ICA outreach program on the 2nd and 3rd of March in Ahmedabad and in Coimbatore on the 4th and 5th of March. And don't forget the ICA trade event is being held in Istanbul on the 14th and 15th of October, and registrations are now open. Thanks for listening to this episode of The Thing About Cotton. We hope you enjoyed this discussion, and if you want to learn more about today's episode, or if you have any other questions about the cotton value chain, feel free to email us at podcast@ica-ltd.org. And don't forget to like and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google. You can follow our global group and our newly formed regional groups in Brazil, the US, Australia, and soon to be added are Pakistan, India, and the Mediterranean. Simply search for Women in Cotton on LinkedIn, Instagram, and Facebook. There you'll find out about our upcoming podcast episodes and events, and you can engage with men and women in the industry. And a special thanks to the International Cotton Association for giving us this platform to deliver the podcast. See you at the next episode.